On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Final hour of Ben and Woods on a Tuesday. Our thanks again to Jesse Agler for joining us. And again, you can hear Jesse and Bob tonight at 6:40 here on 97.3 The Fan. EcoWater SoCal pregame show with Sam Levitt starts at 5:40 as the Padres try to even their series against the Pirates. Paul Skeens on the mound against Michael King. Should be a dandy. Coming up later this hour, we still have those tickets to give away for the Fernando Tatis Jr. City Connect bobblehead game on September 8th for the first 40,000 fans. So continue to listen for your chance to win coming up.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to call them out on the air, I need to let everybody know that Jeff Passan has...
You got some homework today.
I got some homework today. He's broken his silence on the Los Angeles Dodgers and Mark Walter and Guggenheim scandal, as it were. So he's got his podcast. It's called Sources Tell Jeff Passan. Everything you need to know about the investigation into Dodgers owner Mark Walter and Guggenheim, why it's happening and what it involves, how it's tied to the Dodgers and what it means going forward. The full story that helps separate fact from fiction and why...
Just opened up 57 minutes.
Why it is, in fact, great for baseball is the sequel. We did sequels today. That is the second title of it. Why it's great for baseball. I made that up.
Speaking of the Dodgers, do you feel like there's been an outsized reaction to yesterday's news conference from Dodgers fans?
Oh yeah, but I was expecting that.
Are you new here?
Yeah, you new?
I'm not new here. But
save that. I don't know why. It just sounded funny. Should be like a rejoiner. Joined by Ben Higgins. I'm not new here.
Do you think they're nervous, or do you think they are like giddily excited?
I saw both.
Yeah.
I didn't see nervous. I didn't see like, oh man, these guys are going to crush it.
I feel like Dodgers fans have been at least hoping or expecting for years for the Padres to implode.
Implode. Fully implode.
I'm not new here.
That's perfect.
And I feel like in some ways the new ownership being in place makes that less likely. Like, new owners are not going to want to implode.
Sure.
They're bringing in new money, new energy, new ideas. But I'm sure there were some who were trying to poke fun at the that energy that they saw in the news conference as well. So kind of a mixed reaction. Now it's their own team, and they have their own fears. You know how you project your fears onto other things?
Indeed.
Now they're fearing their whole thing that they have going is about to implode with
poverty,
Mark Walter,
franchise needs to be
happen.
Bailed out again.
Well, it was funny. I saw one of them tweeted yesterday, like, "Oh man, Walters is worth $18 billion, and Feliciano's worth $3.9 billion." And I was like, "Yeah, Walter was worth $18 billion. Now he owes $21 to $26 billion. That's negative bill that you're worth. You got to get your money up in that case, right? If you're in the negative $6 billion, that's a tough scene." For Mark
Walter.
So
the three of us are vastly more wealthy than Mark Walter.
Yes, correct. You pool
with
our
close to zero
net worth.
Net worth is much, much better than negative $21 billion.
That's right. That's right. Doing better, right? I sleep better at night than Mark Walter does. Right. He sleeps in a nicer bed with nicer sheets, higher thread count.
But should he, or should he have to be staying in some sort of flea bag motel?
As
with negative
waits,
$21 billion dollars until that gets worked out.
No, I think nothing's going to happen to them because it's a white-collar crime, and white-collar guys rarely suffer consequences other than finding a way to dig themselves out and stroke a check to make it all go away, which is probably something he's done his entire life. And so I don't think anything's going to happen. He may have to sell his share. But they'll just find, they'll get Jeff Bezos or something, or somebody even worse and a bigger villain.
Do you put any thought into, I've seen the theory going around that if something were to happen and Mark Walter does need to sell his team, Shohei Ohtani already, right there, could get out of his contract. And then if Andrew Friedman left because Walter sold, like, then both clauses of his contract would be totally in play.
If Friedman wanted to go full Pete Carroll and be like, sit for me, I'm going to Boston, like, you know, or I'm going to go to New York, or he'll get a job. Anyway, he's a really smart guy.
I think he could probably, like, get an ownership stake. Like, 100%. Hey, yeah, you want to be our president of baseball operations, and here's 8% of the team as well.
No question.
You know,
like, anywhere he wanted
to go. We'll give you generational wealth and come fix us, because we're broken, and you've been pretty good at it in the past.
Yeah, he can write his own ticket, obviously, but yeah, you know, with Walter, like, he's the money man. I've texted some people that are way smarter about this than me, and they're like, nah, man, like, this is bad for Walter. There's a whistleblower. They're working with the government. Like, that's no good. And he's going to, at the very minimum, it's going to cost him a fortune and maybe his share in the LA Dodgers, which I don't know what it's going to do to their franchise. It's fun. I like to poke fun at them because, you know, you made fun of our owner when he passed away. You made fun of Scheel. You're making fun of the new owners. Like, that's the kind of people that you are. So, and I don't, not all of you, but a lot of you that I see. Nasty stuff. So nice to see the tables turned a little bit.
That's what I thought too. Yeah.
Even though it will get just kind of probably swept under the rug and nothing will happen. You know, the next year is going to be telling. The negotiations is going to be really telling on what baseball does. Now, I don't know how this affects all of that either, but that's going to be kind of the ripple effect of his malfeasances, Ben.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what sources tell Jeff Passan.
Yeah, I'm going to listen.
About the Dodgers.
I'm listening as soon as I get the car.
All right, let's get to it. It's time for the Rondo Report.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rondo Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rondo Report with Paul Rindel.
Hey, guys, it's Paul here.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right.
It's always something different in the Rindel Report open. Every day, something different makes me laugh.
Yeah, it is funny. Sometimes it's one thing, sometimes it's another thing.
Yeah. Are you laughing, biatch?
That kills me. Still, I hope that guy's okay. I don't think he is.
I saw a few years ago he wasn't doing well. So maybe he's turned things around.
Maybe he's good. He's good.
He's good.
I'm good.
Hi, Paul.
All right, let's get started. Real quick, story 1A, just because it just dropped. Have not read the story yet, but Dennis Lynn has put out an update that Oswaldo Perella, the Padres catching coordinator, was detained by ICE a week ago. He was released on bond yesterday. Family spokesperson told The Athletic Perella has returned home to his family. So, positive update there.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
All right, we will get started. Kind of a add-on to a Rindel Report story yesterday told you about Daquan Wright, the NFL player who had an agreement that if he did not play in the NFL, actually play in any NFL games, he could return to college for his fifth year of eligibility and go play at LSU. That was yesterday's LSU story. Today's LSU sports story is actually in basketball, where former NBA player RJ Lewis Jr., he was a Big East Player of the Year back in college in 2025. He had signed multiple NBA contracts but never actually got into any games. He has now declared eligibility and will be playing for LSU this upcoming season. I don't know what's happening. I think we are kind of seeing like the beginning of the end of something in college sports here. It's like we've said it for years now, the NIL chapter of college sports. It's the wild, wild west. He had signed with multiple teams. He had a two-way contract with the Jazz, a G League contract with the Celtics, but he went undrafted in last year's NBA draft. He saw some preseason action, but he never appeared in a regular season game. So because of that lawsuit where the players said, hey, we deserve this fifth year of eligibility, he has gone back to college.
Clearly, the rules are a disaster right now in terms of eligibility.
Yes.
And confusing, and everyone's filing lawsuits, especially the class of the 2022 guys who came in who want that fifth year.
Yep.
Some of them had already gone to the pros. I get it. Like, you didn't tell me I could stay for another year in college. If they had known that, a lot of them would have gone, I'd be better off another year in college than trying to be the last man on the roster of
a stock-up
NFL team or a basketball team. So they're going to court to try to, you know, get their rights to go back and play. I understand that. I think this is a philosophical question, though. Once the games start, and college football starts this weekend, college basketball will start here in a couple of months. Do we really care how the players got to the team or what they're being paid or how old they are or if they appeared in a European professional basketball game or played in a
NFL preseason game, as long as I got some of those guys on my team.
Or if they're wearing our college's colors.
No, but if they beat us, then I care massively.
If they're wearing our college's colors, are we just going to go, go you, let's beat the college across the street, and that's all that we really care about, and we're still going to enjoy
root for the laundry
college sports as much as we always do. It's just the frustrating off-season part of it that is driving everybody crazy. But once the rosters are set and they play the games, will this matter to us at all?
Yeah, only if they win, obviously.
And if you lose, the other team's championship is clearly tainted by all their recruiting shenanigans and players they've hired to come back from the pros to play for them.
I don't know. It's just, where do you draw the line? I see the line's going to get, it feels like it's going to get blurrier and blurrier. And
yeah, until it blurrier. Doesn't. Until somebody, they're going to have to re-regulate all of this at some point.
They like Kawhi Leonard has a couple years of eligibility left at San Diego State. He may not be playing next year. If he's suspended, let's just get him back here.
I don't have any eligibility left for any college sports. I've been to 17 colleges and it took me 7 years. So
you've used your 5 years?
I've used my 5 years and then some.
I feel like I could go back for one more year of college golf, possibly.
Yeah, you could.
If anyone's interested.
Did you graduate early?
No, I did my 4 years, so I still have my fifth year, perhaps. If anyone local, Cal State San Marcos, PLNU, wants to put me on for a year on the team, I'd be interested in a comeback, actually.
You have to go to class?
I'm sure we can work something out.
How about a broadcasting class?
I have never taken a broadcasting class before.
We know. So. I'm just kidding. You're an excellent broadcaster. You know that.
Wow.
You know you're an excellent
broadcaster. I'll be the TA or something, you know, for
broadcast. Oh, yeah.
I'm not new here.
Yeah, you're not new here. You're an excellent broadcaster. Can you imagine Ben's in broadcast? You're like, no. Do it like this.
Can you imagine how infuriating that would be?
It would be the greatest prank of all time.
B-minus.
B-minus.
Radio 101.
Ben, can you do a, I just need a 3-minute segment on this. And he does, and he's like, eh.
He failed his television news class.
Yes. It's so good. Just be like, it was okay. I'm a C plus. It was pretty good. I think you could have articulated better and projected more. See, I literally have 25 years in front of a microphone.
Can get you doing overnights at KCR College
That's
Radio.
Right. That's right.
Get a little internship going.
Yeah, you never
know.
I'm
Ben Higgins. It's so good.
All right, we'll move on to the NFL. I will just go ahead and say this. It's been weird. For the last week or so, I've seen a lot more of Deshaun Watson in the news, highlights, press clippings, whatever.
He just got named the starting quarterback.
He was named the starting quarterback. He's back. You know, he's been so far off everyone's radar for the last few years with his injuries and kind of just remembering he's not a very good guy. And it's a very interesting scenario happening in Cleveland. So, yes, he was named the QB1 over Shedeur Sanders, winning that battle. After Saturday's preseason game, Deshaun Watson had some pretty interesting comments. He was not happy with some of the fan base, his own fan base, the Cleveland Browns.
Last time I played on this field, I tore my Achilles. And that same fan base, they cheered when I got hurt. So does that have to do with, what does that have to do with anything about performance? When a person get hurt, especially for your own city, and they cheer.
So that was on Saturday following the game. He was not very happy. Yesterday, he's named QB1. He did want to apologize for Saturday's comments.
Did he think he wasn't going to get the job on Saturday? And then on Monday, he's like, F.
And honestly, I was sitting here this morning. I was
really
kind of
think this all the way through, did I?
Collecting some stories. I go, is this like newsworthy at all? And I go, I guess it's not every day that you hear a starting quarterback call out his own fans. Here's his apology from yesterday.
First off, I want to address the comments from Saturday after the game. You know, I think just, you know, human nature, just myself being very emotional, putting a lot of time these last 2 years to
you know, get back and, you know, spend time in this facility, in the city, meeting a lot of different people in the community. You know, I thought I was going to get, you know, a little different response. But, you know, I think, you know, my emotions got the best of me. And, you know, I wasn't, my comments wasn't intending to go at any of the fans around in the city.
Just all of them.
Because there's been a lot of great fans that have been supporting me.
27 women, by the
Deshaun,
way.
Deshaun, I don't think you're. Women. I don't think your problem is you're too emotional.
That's not
you're
it.
You're oblivious.
Yeah, you're a serial sexual assaulter.
Yeah. Now, Paulie, can you share? I think you just did it off air. Can you share the stat that blew my mind yesterday about the Cleveland Browns stadium?
Oh yeah, this is nuts.
Yeah.
So because they don't seem to be any closer to ending this one either.
No, I saw. So the Cleveland Browns are getting a new stadium. I believe it's ready to go up in 2029. Their current stadium was erected in 1999. So it'll have a lifespan of about 30 years. And unless anything changes in the next couple of seasons, that Cleveland Stadium will have hosted exactly zero playoff games.
Zero. Not one single solitary wild
playoff
card.
Game at some point in 30 years, but they never hosted a playoff game. A stadium could go its entire run of 30 years without once hosting a playoff game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And is that the shelf life of an NFL stadium, 30 years? Is that 30 years old, man?
I mean, if you don't take care of it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Deshaun went on. He just kind of rambled there for a little bit. He went on, though, and he goes, you know, look, it's been a really, it's been a tough few years here. I mean, look.
It should have been.
He goes, with the injuries and, you know, just, you know, not being around.
Injuries. Yeah, just having been around.
I was like, ooh, you didn't think too far. You didn't think, ugh, that next sentence is going to be a little awkward. Very weird to see what's going on there. But Deshaun Watson apologizes to his fan base, and I'm sure there won't be any more headlines about him moving forward.
Ripping the tier ones on Friday, and then Monday be like, hey, guys, it's Woodsy. You know I'm an emotional guy. And I just got the better of me on Friday, and I'm very sorry. And anyway, you know I work hard.
Man, everyone in the YouTube chat is just totally nuts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, they are. They're nuts every day, but I like them for it.
Finally, can I interest you in some Jelly Roll content today?
Yes.
Woods is a yes.
This was a little bit of a jump scare to wake up to and see that I was not prepared for Jelly Roll. He took over Jimmy Kimmel's show yesterday. Kimmel is on summer vacation.
What planet
my
are we
ABC
on?
Colleague now?
Yeah.
Jelly
what
planet
Roll.
Are we on?
It's very common for guys like Kimmel or Fallon or whoever to go on vacation, take the summer off, and they'll have guest hosts.
They get
throughout
talented
the week.
People to do it, though.
They do.
Next summer, we're off. We'll just have guest hosts all summer.
I cannot believe this.
Ours would be like the the winter.
We can do winter guest hosts.
From
they
like
would just,
November, December, yeah. January.
They're just industry plant. They're jamming this guy down our throats.
To see him in a suit and doing a monologue with his Mike Tyson tattoos, it was a bit of a shock. I did pull a clip here. He was talking about his miraculous 300-pound weight loss.
Okay.
Apparently, it was just a lot of good exercise.
You gotta put the work in.
A little bit facetious.
At least he's healthier now.
But he said one of the biggest benefits of his 300-pound weight loss was seeing body parts that he hasn't been able to see in a while.
I do speak from a little bit of experience here, y'all. The first time I seen mine recently, I was surprised at how cute it was.
That's really close.
It kind of looked like a little LaBooBoo doll.
Did he get veneers?
Looks like he got veneers. Are you kidding? You're joking, right?
Those are entirely too white.
He's in a full suit, by the way, and he's got those big old Freddie Freeman teeth. Oh, my God. And he's hosting Jimmy Kimmel. All right.
The problem is, at a distance, like watching on TV, he doesn't look like he has tattoos.
Looks
it's
like
just
dirty.
Like his face is dirty.
Like he got out of a coal mine, maybe. Yeah.
It does.
Sorry, I came straight from the coal mines.
I do speak from a little bit of experience here, y'all. The first time I seen mine recently, I was surprised at how cute it was. It kind of looked like a little LaBooBoo doll.
Man, that must be hard for the studio audience to actually
laugh. You should not laugh that hard at
my penis. Hate it here. I hate it.
Yeah, that's the Rindle Report. Polly, thank you for getting us updated on Jelly Roll once again.
I'm moving to another place for a while.
Get me off this ride.
I'll take the equipment. It's fine. I know I said I wouldn't, but I will.
All right, when we come back, we got some Padres tickets to give away. Stay tuned. Your opportunity to win coming up. Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, broadcasting live from the Bill House Studios. We know how. It is 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEG-000-466. For a full list of games and rules, play at 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
Woods will send you off to 7 Mile Casino for a few hours. You'll be right as rain. Play some cards, have a great meal any time of the day, enjoy their phenomenal atmosphere. You'll be like a new man when you come out of that place.
Yeah, I agree with you. You sit down, play some California-style blackjack, some Texas Hold'em, some Pie Gal, some Baccarat, whatever floats your boat. Your proverbial boat. But no, it's a smoke-free environment as well. They got really good food. You can eat at the table. You get a discount if you do that. They'll take good care of you. Guess what? They want you to come back and have a great time. But the best part, 7 minutes from downtown.
You can practically boat there. It is practically right could. Off of San Diego Bay.
That's
you
right.
can see it from the patio. Beautiful views of Coronado, the Silver Strand. Enjoy it with friends. Enjoy the game. TVs all throughout. You're going to have a really great time. Please tell them Ben and Wood sent you. Enjoy a great meal. Have a great time at 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Padres home tonight, home tomorrow afternoon, and then back out on the road. They're going where? Tampa Bay this weekend to take on the Rays, who have been pretty consistently the best team in the American League all season. So that will be a challenge. And then I think they hit Cincinnati next week on the way home.
Got to win those.
They got to win tonight.
Like, yeah.
You don't want to lose this series to the Pirates and then go face some quality teams this weekend.
You don't want to feel like any game against Paul Skeens is like must win. Got to beat Paul Skeens tonight. They certainly should have an opportunity to do so. He hasn't been as dominant as we've seen in the past. And it's not just like one or two bad starts. He's been like struggling for a couple.
Shut up. Good luck to the Pirates.
Good luck to the Padres.
Yeah, good luck to the Skeens. Padres.
Let's try
Paul Skeens. There
you go. Pittsburgh is in here next, and good luck to the Pirates.
Nando 0 for 5. I think our top of the order was like 0 for 15, I think. Is that right? Sounds about right.
Yeah. Good luck to the Padres.
Good luck to the Padres. No chance, right? Zero chance.
Zero chance.
None. Now you're talking.
You're welcome.
Clip that.
I'm not new here.
Such a great quote. I don't know why. I'm not new here. He's so mad.
I'm not new here.
But he's so mad.
Settle down. God.
Yeah, relax. We
get, fun.
We get it. You're a seasoned veteran. I'm not new here. That's so good.
I'm not new here.
I love it.
That sounds like it could be in a prank phone call.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I don't know exactly what, but I know something. We can work with that.
Yeah, it's great. Excellent. What were you going to say?
I was going to give you the floor, actually.
Oh, you were giving me the floor. All right, let's do an MLB reach around, everybody. Here we go. No, I mean, obviously, like, you got to keep series, but in order to win a series, you got to win a game. You got Bubba Chandler tomorrow going against the Padres, and it you know, you don't want to see this thing slip away. You're playing such good baseball. Even I understand, like, you got down last night, though, man. You fought back. This team seems really committed to winning. You hope the Manny finger is okay. You hope that they're piecing it together right now. You know, the bench is a little bit thin. Bullpen's a little bit cashed from last night. You chased the dub with your best guys, and you didn't get it. And that's what stings the most.
I think a point that I did want to make earlier, and you reminded me when you talked about Manny's injured finger, and he's going to play through.
He said they pay me to play.
But if you could somehow...
People hate him for that, by the way, which is really weird.
If you could somehow play well enough where you can make the last three or four games not matter,
it
would be really fantastic to give some guys some rest that last week of the season.
Grinding right into a playoff series, sometimes it can work magic for you, right? The rest versus rust, but, you know, I don't know, man. Like, as a fan, I want that last series against the Diamondbacks to not really matter. I want that to, like, Padres are good. Doesn't matter if we lose all three, we're still in. You don't want to go into the postseason kind of with that taste.
Yeah, I'm not saying, everybody a week off.
No, but it's a bit of a dance.
Rotate guys, give a couple of days off for everybody, yep. Because more than likely, in fact, almost certainly, the Padres will have to play on that Tuesday, whether it's, it's a wild card series on the road, maybe at home if everything goes really well, probably on the road. So you're going to be on a plane right after the season ends.
Yep.
No one's going to get rested at all unless you're able to clinch a few days early and give your team that opportunity over those last 2 days.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know, again, that's probably a bit of a pie in the sky dream at the moment. I don't think the Diamondbacks or Phillies are going to go away and make this easy for the San Diego Padres, but it's possible that they could take care of business and at least give themselves a chance to get a little healthier and a little more refreshed and rested going into a postseason series.
But if you take care of your own business, you're going to be fine, right? You're just keep winning series and see what happens. But let's see, tonight we will be obviously rooting. We talked about the distress of who to root for, Chicago or Arizona, Ben. I think we want the Diamondbacks out of it. Clay Holmes against Brandon Pfaadt should be a really good game. Pfaadt has pitched really, really well this year. And then you got Aaron Nola against George Kirby, Philly and Seattle. So again, like another really good pitching matchup. And if you're interested, Brady Singer against Adrian Hauser for the Reds Giants, Ben. Not that it matters even.
Not at all.
But no, I think, tonight's a big one, man. That's so fun, though. This is the fun stuff. You're waiting for 6:40 with bated breath.
So the Mariners, who we are cheering for tonight,
yes,
are just three games out of a playoff spot, yep. So they got plenty to play for. And you've seen how the American League standings just flip. I mean, it was the Tigers, yep. And then it was the Orioles. Now the Tigers are 4.5 out. The Orioles are 2.5 out. Now the Guardians are back to 500 and are holding that last wild card spot. And the Astros are out of the playoffs today at a game under 500 because the Texas Rangers are back in first place in the American League West. So those standings seem to change every single week. Padres just swept the Twins. They won yesterday. They're back within two games of a playoff spot. Again,
yep.
Feels like the next 3 weeks you're going to probably still see this constant tumbling of the standings for those last playoff spots in the American League. The other, the Red Sox, Yankees, they seem pretty comfortably in. They're not 9 up and 6.5 up on a wild card spot. So it's probably just that last playoff spot. Maybe the White Sox could be caught in the AL Central if the Guardians go on a run. Remember, they did it last year and chased down the Tigers at the end of the season. Not nearly as far back from the White Sox, who were playing okay, but not world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. They're just five games above 500. It looks pretty good in the American League right now. You wouldn't even be in a playoff spot or that close to it in the National League, but they're right now in fairly comfortable position, 66% chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty fun, man, if you're a fan of an American League team. The Astros, the Twins, the Blue Jays, the Orioles, the Mariners, and the Tigers, essentially, all fighting for that last spot. I mean, it is just as good as it gets. Now, the teams aren't very good, but it's the fight, the battle
but
to the end.
Even those mediocre teams, there's no team they can't beat.
Correct.
I mean, they can take two out of three from the Yankees
100%.
Or the Red Sox or even the Rays.
Yep.
I mean, there's no world-beating team, so someone is going to make the World Series from the American League. They will be underdogs probably when they get there, but who wouldn't want a shot? 4 out of 7, a chance to win a World Series championship on a down year. Someone's going to get that opportunity in the AL this year.
Yep. Dodgers get Glasnow back today, so that's good.
And there'll probably be a much more deserving NL team or two that are left out of the playoffs,
yes.
And you just hope the Padres aren't one of them at the end. All right, before we take our last time out, let's give away another pair of Padres tickets, Tier 1s. If you want to come join us on September 8th for the Fernando Tatis Jr. City Connect bobblehead game and see the three of us throw out a first pitch. First 40,000 fans are going to get that City Connect bobblehead, and you can win tickets right now by being the fourth caller at 833-288-0973. Fourth caller at 833-288-0973. Get your own tickets at padres.com/tickets. We'll come back, wrap things up on a Tuesday with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting point that Kevin Acey brought up in this morning's newsletter about Quanza Jones and Jose E. Feliciano that I'm sure we've mentioned in the past, but probably bears repeating. They're almost certainly, by far, like magnitudes of order, the wealthiest owners the Padres have ever had. Far wealthier than the Seidler family, far wealthier than John Moores, far wealthier than Ray Kroc. I mean, comparatively, Ray was pretty, I think, rich for the day, but I mean, they can do what they want to do. So we will see what they choose to do going forward based on the resources that they have. But I think it's undoubtedly a good thing in the modern day of professional sports to have an owner who at least has the ability to spend when they need to, and they don't have to feel like, oh, well, we could do this, but we might be in trouble or we might get ourselves in some financial hot water. Don't think that's going to be the case with Jose E. Feliciano and Quanza Jones.
I do love how this world works these days. It's funny, and if you don't let it bother you, it won't. If you do, it will. So Front Office Sports tweeted this. The Padres' new owners are suggesting the team could pull back on spending. We're going to live within our means, said Jose E. Feliciano, who is taking over the team with his wife, Quanza Jones. I heard that comment, too.
Living within our means, spending within our means. That was a big one yesterday.
Well, yeah, but, you know, so somebody said, what are your thoughts on this? And I said, well, they also said we're going to be aggressive. And I said, hopefully they just mean living within their means, mean they won't be investigated for insurance fraud, is a nice way to put that.
No illegal gambling.
Yeah, no illegal gambling.
I think that you also have to define what that means, their means, living within them. Because I think right now the Padres are living within their means.
Yes.
Their revenue is near the top of Major League Baseball. And they are spending all of that revenue pretty much, I believe, on payroll. But that is fine. I mean, yeah, you're not setting extra aside for a rainy day, but you're still living within your means. There are many teams that take in way more revenue and then lower their payroll. That's just being cheap. There's a difference between living within your means and, yeah, we're just going to be cheap about things and not spend fully to our capabilities. As long as they spend to their capabilities, I don't think you can ask much more of a professional team owner.
Problem with owners, though, is you never know what their capabilities are.
No.
You know, that's the thing.
And you never know what their books are exactly.
They're not going to say, I'm going into this free agent period with $500 million to spend. And you're like, well, great, spend away. And you just don't know that. I mean, look, and let's call it what it is. I did see and hear a lot of lauding. And even they brought up, well, yeah, man, you know, like you saw what we did at the deadline. And I like the Mize and Robbie Ray moves, but it wasn't for a lot of, it's not, it wasn't $30 million. They added $4 million in salary. It's good. It's not nothing. And we needed it. And it could have gone the other way. A lot of teams didn't do that. So, again, it's all about your perspective and where you're at. So, I did think that comment was more like, yeah, I don't plan on being under investigation from the SEC, which is great. I don't want that to happen to my team. But I did mention Jeff Passan has put out his new Dodgers article. And I think, or not an article, a podcast. I think he's splitting hairs a little bit. I do feel like he's splitting hairs. So here's the clip of him talking about their massive financial advantage with their TV deal.
And if I can be clear for a second, that's what it was. It was an advantage, a big advantage. And that's vital to all this. As much as other teams could, and you can argue should, be more aggressive in their pursuit of a championship, that does not mean that any team can be just like the Dodgers. I have never said that. I never would say that because it's not true. I have said that other teams should try and emulate the Dodgers' desire to win, and that plenty have greater ability to do so than they choose to in reality. And I'll stand by that contention all day. Here's the thing.
I don't think that's groundbreaking stuff. Everybody knows that there are a handful of teams in the big leagues that can spend more money than they do. Everybody does. My biggest problem, so here's a tweet he sent on December 27th of 24. The Los Angeles Dodgers are a machine. Not only do they print cash, their willingness to spend it in pursuit of winning is unmatched. They put their money where their mouth is. Others could benefit greatly from the same approach. They choose not to. These other teams do not choose to not have $300 million extra a year from their TV deal. They don't choose that. There wasn't a box that the owner goes, do you want this extra money or don't you? No, we don't want it. We don't
if
want
you take it.
Because if you take it,
your fans are probably going to want you to spend a lot of it.
No,
we
are opting out.
Don't give it to me.
So that's my big problem. My other big problem, and I got a I got DMs with Jeff Passan. He and I going back and forth. My other big problem is anytime one of those teams, I don't know, like the team here said, we're doing it differently. Everybody mocked, you know, it's not sustainable, blah, 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 blah. We all saw it. It's gone on for years. It's blown up in his face a little bit. Now, they do print money. A lot of it is printed illegally. So, yes, if your owner wants to start a Ponzi scheme and steal money, yes, you too can do it. You have to be willing to spend that money once you steal it, like the Dodgers have.
They do. They spend the money that they spend the money.
That's my problem. And I want him, and he won't
unethically.
He will not say. They've done some underhanded. I'm assuming he won't say they've done some really underhanded stuff.
I mean, the root of my complaints about the Dodgers is that in sports we really want the playing field to be as level as possible. In baseball, it's clear with the modern statistics. You watch from Moneyball on. You're not buying a player. You're buying wins. Like we can buy wins with these stats. The Dodgers have more money to buy wins. Would we be okay if everybody spent the same, but the Dodgers just start with 12 extra wins every year because they're in a bigger media market? Because that's essentially kind of what's going on here. Because of the extra money, they are starting with extra wins that other teams don't have because they don't have the money to spend. It's not a level playing field. Now, we'd be all outraged.
Just financial wins.
Yeah, no, but we'd be all outraged if they literally just said, okay, Dodgers, because you're in a big market, you're 12-0 to start the season.
Yeah, like what?
And we'd all go, well, you can't do that. That's insane. But
No, they have a big TV deal.
They have set up a system.
Everyone can do this, though.
The Dodgers can buy themselves through roster depth, through star players,
yeah,
through extra pitching, they buy themselves extra wins before the season even starts. Well, they don't put them in the standings because we'd all go crazy if they do that. But that's exactly what they are doing. They're buying extra wins that other teams can't afford at the beginning of the year.
In manners that are not legal. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like they're buying... That are under investigation, at least. Nothing's been proven yet, other than...
Or they bought the team with that money, and now they're using...
No, put it into payroll.
Well, money's money. I mean, so they also take in an insane amount of money from their TV deal. There's nothing wrong, and there's nothing illegal about their TV deal. There's nothing illegal about their number one attendance.
I don't know,
There's nothing illegal about all the sponsorships they're getting from Japan. They're not available to other teams, but they take in by far the most revenue of every team. I don't know what percentage extra they're dumping in, perhaps, but I don't think they're losing money on the Dodgers.
No, I don't think they're losing money either.
I mean, if they didn't have an illegal source of revenue from Mark Walter, I still think they'd be able to spend whatever they want because they make so much money. They print money.
But to get to that point,
they needed that extra money. But now they're there. They're on the mountaintop.
Well,
and they can spend what they want.
So Ben, forward, if Mark Walter just disappears, I don't think anything changes with the Dodgers organization.
Yeah. If I sold a bunch of kilos of blow and bought my house, I don't do it anymore.
Right.
But I own my house outright. I don't do it anymore.
Or you used it to start a legitimate business.
Yes. Like,
I'm not saying that it's not wrong.
I don't do it anymore, so it's fine.
But your restaurant that you bought with all your cocaine still has to be better than the restaurant down the street if you want it to make more money.
Correct.
Because you're not selling cocaine anymore.
As far as
you just have to, your restaurant, they have a really good restaurant. Their Dodgers restaurant serves really good food.
Yep.
People really enjoy it. They come, they spend big checks, a lot of money. It's a good restaurant. How they got that restaurant is a little funky now. Correct. We're finding out.
Which is, I think, you know, that's kind of what I want to hear from Jeff today.
I love the cocaine. Cocaine.
That's why my restaurant is your favorite restaurant.
How much cocaine is a lot of cocaine?
Is that Michael McDonald in the background, by the way?
You know it was.
How much cocaine is a lot of cocaine?
I'm excited to listen to see what Jeff says. And I'm going to listen with an openish mind. Because, again, I have a conversation in my DMs with him.
I remember it was
spring training,
fantasy camp. We were in our Airbnb watching the national championship. Yeah, Notre Dame was in it, and you screamed at halftime. I think you were like, "Paulie, Jeff Passan's in my DMs."
Yeah, he was mad. Well, we talked it out. You know,
I'm impressed though that Jeff is unafraid to engage like that.
Yeah, I mean, he was covering his rear end at that time.
Let me ask you this. Would you put Jeff Passan back on this show?
Yes.
He's been on before.
100%.
If I reached out to him and he agreed to come on and talk about this, would you want that interview?
Yes, he's not Bob Nightingale. Yeah, of course. Anytime. I want to listen to it today. See what he says. And I may come in tomorrow and go, "Hey, man, he crushed it." You know, he probably did. He's well researched and all that. But it is very odd that it took so long. He was gathering information, wanted to do it right. That's okay. But, you know, I think some of this has bit him in the butt a little bit. There was a lot of trumpet blaring and chest beating, and there was the sentiment was every team can do this. The sentiment. He may not have said, quote, every team can do this. He said every team should try to do this, right? So that's the interesting part for me, and I wonder if he'll walk it back at all.
And that would help. If more teams tried it, it would be harder for the Dodgers to pull away from everybody.
100%.
And, you know, Padres are one that has
tried
it, which we appreciate.
And we're mocked mercilessly.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Ben and Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit davidpshapirolaw.com. We will be back tomorrow at 6 a.m. It'll be a Big League Wednesday. Joining us on our SDCCU fan hotline, it's not Big Bang Banking, it's better. Brett Boone will have his regular check-in. He's been all over the Ketel Marte story.
Has he?
This week, yeah. Did, I think, a podcast with Greg Amsinger where they talked about it a lot. So
love both those guys.
Updated and see if he had any teammates just go randomly missing during his career as well. And we will be back tomorrow at 6. Braden and Frank are coming up next. That's it for us. Happy National Banana Split Day, everybody. For our executive producer, Paul Reindl. For Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.